and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005 with over 3 million downloads. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 560. This is Paris. I'm here with Pete this week. What's up, Pete?
How you doing?
No Danny. He's handling some family issues right now. He'll be back hopefully in a couple episodes, but shout out to Danny. We'll see you when you get back soon. Patrick will probably be back on next week. So with that, I want to remind you guys to go check out our website, gamertagradio.com, or you can find our episodes over at play.it. You can check out our Twitter at Gamertag Radio, and we also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/gamertagradio. If you want to leave us any feedback, our email address is fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or of course you can leave us a voicemail at 786-273-7GTR. So we did promise you guys that we were going to have Ryan McCaffrey from IGN on this week, but unfortunately, due to Danny having to go take care of some personal issues, we decided to reschedule that. Already talked to Ryan about it. He's good to go. Said just let him know when we want to reschedule. So hopefully we'll get Ryan on here in a couple weeks, because again, I definitely want to talk to him about IGN, talk to him about, you know, the state of E3 and just where he sees Microsoft going with the Xbox One and the whole Windows 10 platform for gaming. So this week, a couple bombs have dropped here right before we decided to record, so we'll definitely be getting into those. But the first one is over this weekend, Red Dead Redemption 2, a map leaked online and people have lost their minds. Pete, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it's pretty valid, you know, concern. It's massive. We're talking Skyrim-sized map here, if not more. Maybe Witcher 3-sized map for Red Dead Redemption. This is probably some of the biggest game news in the last 6 to 8 months. I know it started with its minor rumblings late last year. January, there was some news. I think I brought it up a couple of episodes back. I think 2K is ready to drop the massive bomb at E3 this year. And I think we mentioned maybe doing some kind of anticipation or estimates for what was going to come out at E3. And I think this is probably the one game that nobody thought of a year ago, but now it's probably at the top of everybody's list. Red Dead Redemption seems like it's going to be back. I don't know if it's still 100%. Has this been verified, confirmed? Like, is this a Red Dead map?
Rockstar is not going to confirm any of this stuff. I mean, this is all still speculation at this point. It looks pretty legit. My thing is, I mean, everyone's saying E3, but Rockstar doesn't do E3, do they? Mm. I cannot remember them revealing any of their games at an E3 of this scope anyways. So I personally would be surprised, which begs the other question. If they do it at E3, who gets the reveal? Is Microsoft getting the reveal, or is PlayStation going to get the reveal? That'd be another.
That just matters. I think what matters on that one is who's going to throw the most amount of money at 2K games.
Yeah,
because that's going to be. I mean, right now, and I think the giant elephant in that room is going to be Sony. They've got all the excess cash from all the additional consoles. Was it more than 100%, or was it 200% on consoles sold according to the last numbers from last week? But yeah, that's going to be a money throw. That's going to see who's pretty much just going to be, everybody's going to drop their pants and see who's bigger at that point.
I'm gonna go Miss Cleo. Uh-oh. And I think they don't reveal it at E3. I think they're going to announce this in May before E3. I think they're going to get out in front of E3 and they're going to want all the attention on them. Similar to what Square Enix did with Final Fantasy 15. Same scenario, in my personal opinion.
That's probably not a bad concept or idea, considering that now you've got a lot less presence from all of the other publishers or developers at E3. You do that front and center South Hall with 2K right at the front, with big Red Dead Redemption artwork and graphics and videos playing across the big screens. Wow, I'm actually picturing it now as you come up the stairs, you come up off the side, and you go into the entrance of the South Hall, and there's Red Dead Redemption on the big screen.
Imagine this. 2K literally turns their booth into the Old West. I'm dead serious. Like, you literally just walk in there, it's like you're in the Old West,
and
you
assless walk into chaps.
Yeah, there's saloon and all that other crazy stuff just right there in the booth. That would be impressive. Like I said, Rockstar isn't known for showing things off at E3. So if there is a booth, that's going to be something new for them. I'll be interested to see if that does come down. But, you know, again, this is why we wanted Ryan McCaffrey on so bad, so to talk about this more with E3. With E3 changing so much, why would 2K let themselves, not that they would get buried in the news cycle of E3, but why not get out in front of it? Why not have your day? Everyone's talking about your game. Every headline on all the major gaming publications are about your game. Just makes sense. That's what I say. That's my prediction. Look, I'm probably wrong, but if I were in charge of Take-Two, that's what I would do.
I don't know. There's way too much potential. Like I'm trying to grasp the right words, but I'm wondering if potential is the right word for this. I mean, Rockstar is known for massive, massive experiences, large scapes. Does this seem to be on that Rockstar GTA 5?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Red Dead Redemption was okay. Let me confess a secret here. I've probably played about an hour of Red Dead Redemption when it came out on the old consoles. I am not a Red Dead Redemption, oh my God, it was the most amazing thing. I'm literally just going by word of mouth of what everyone said. But it's looking at that map and looking at what Rockstar did with GTA 5. I mean, like you said earlier, this is Witcher 3 level of environment here. And if they can get even close to the level of detail that we've come to know from Rockstar with the GTA games. I mean, if that hits this holiday, I know what I'm playing.
So I'm looking at the map and I'm scrolling through the GAF. What are the chances that this is actually Mafia 3 and not Red Dead Redemption?
You mean like but looking at the island though, that just doesn't scream Mafia to me though.
It's Mafia 3 is supposed to be the Bayou, right?
Yeah.
Supposed to be New Orleans. So why not all of this extra river runways all over the thing? And, you know, we'll talk to Danny and or whoever, you know, when we post the show notes. Hopefully we could put a link to maybe some of the imagery or something like that. But I don't know. I'm thinking Bayou. I'm thinking water.
But I just pulled up a high-res version of it. This looks like an Old West map because there's a lot of ranches, towns, settlements, caravan camps, gang hideouts, you know, homestead robbery. This looks, I'm looking at it right now. There's one place called Aberdeen's Pig Farm.
I see it. But then, all right. Yeah. So, and it's really, I hate doing this without some kind of a reference point for the listeners, because they're like, okay, they're trying to imagine it from our point of view. So I'm looking at the map, and right where Paris just mentioned, if you look in the map, it says Aberdeen Pig Farm. Go straight down, right? And yeah, it kind of looks like a chubby version of Florida, and it's, you know, a bunch of rivers and a lot of waterways. That's the Bayou, and actually says, if I'm not mistaken, Bayou NWA.
Yeah, I know.
So is that like a Bayou/Compton?
Yeah.
But that is the perfect iteration for something like Red Dead Redemption, or not Red Dead Redemption, Mafia 3. That's the Bayou. That's heavy waterways, sparse land, and it's.
How about this, Pete? Stop trying to take away my joy. Let me have this. No. I mean, all jokes aside, because like I said, I've not truly played Red Dead Redemption. at least give me a PC version of the original one so I can go play the original, if not...
And have a reference point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, because I do want to go back and play it. I really do. So, and I know there's been some rumblings about there being it coming up on the three, there being backwards compatibility for Xbox One, which, hey, I guess I can't take advantage of anymore, but...
Nope. With that one.
Something's gonna there's just been too much talk about Red Dead that something's gonna happen. I would hope it is 2016, but if it is Rockstar, it wouldn't surprise me if it gets pushed to 2017. But I mean, we know, like you said, Mafia 3, we know that's coming. But I'm hopeful that they're also gonna sneak in Red Dead Redemption 2 as well. Which, side note, I'm convinced at this E3, since we're already talking about 2K, they're at least going to tease the next BioShock. Just a thought.
Speaking of, there were rumblings today of a certain BioShock former person here. Was it Ken Levine?
Yeah, Ken Levine. Yeah, yeah. Basically making that interactive Twilight Zone game. Could be interesting. I mean,
so, hybrid video game / movie TV show thing. I mean, granted, it's Ken Levine. I almost throw my wallet immediately whenever his name is associated with a title. I was late. I admit, I have my late pass for BioShock. But yeah, is he someone that when you throw it, when you associate a name like a Ken Levine to a title, is that like an automatic like blockbuster?
For me, it is, because he earned my trust with the original BioShock, and then. You know how much I love Infinite. Right. So, yeah. When I hear Ken Levine, I sit up in my seat and I pay attention every time. So, yeah, I'll definitely have this on the radar. Looking forward to it.
Hmm. And it's Twilight Zone. I don't know. It's Twilight Zone is one of those singular titles that, like, when you hear it, it's just like I'm gonna use a Paris phrase here. The fuddy duddy. I hear it and I think of what's his name. The voice of Twilight Zone. I hear that and I'm just like, the Twilight Zone. Yeah, I get taken back to when I was a kid and I was actually scared of a TV show. Just the intro would freak me out and I wouldn't be able to watch the rest of the show. I just freak out during the intro and leave the TV alone. But I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how, because they've tried the interactive TV video game thing before. And it hasn't worked out 100%. Can this be successful?
You know, I've not played I've not played Quantum Break yet, because I'm kind of waiting for the Windows 10 issues to get resolved. And shout out to Angry Joe. I just so happen to have a link to his Quantum Break review. And this is what you're talking about, is what he brought up in the review. You know, he did it in the Angry Joe way. Hey, either you love it or hate it. I found it funny personally. But the point that he was making was, with today's technology and mixing the live video, TV thing and all that, along with the game and all that, he goes, it actually takes you out of the experience. In his opinion, and again, I've not played Quantum Break, so I cannot 100% say this is the case. I'm just going by using this as an example, and that if you have, with all the motion capture now and the things that you can do in a game, you can actually do more than you could with live video in a game now. And you can still have the same voice actors, act out the part and do that whole thing. So why even waste the time to integrate live action video in with a game? I think that is a question that needs to be asked. I know people seem to love Quantum Break, so I'm not taking away from that at all. But then you look at something like Defiance, that didn't necessarily work. People, there's other games in the past that have tried it. It didn't necessarily work. So I don't know if in 2016, 2017 and beyond, we necessarily need that. Let's stick to the actual graphical fidelity that we get out of these games now and just keep doing motion capture.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up Defiance, because that's what I was alluding to, and that was a game that was great up until launch, and then it just disappeared. Like all of that entire alpha beta period for the game was great, and then it just, once they announced that, it just dropped off the map for everybody. And I was referring to Rod Serling earlier. That's, you know, the seminal voice of the Twilight Zone. I don't know. It's, I hate to sound like the guy that always wants to wait for more, but this just might be one of those things that it's like, yeah, I could definitely be behind. Cause I mean, Twilight Zone, that's just, it's, you've got so much rich history with that TV series. And then you add a Kedden Levine to it who seemingly does no wrong.
I don't know. Oh, well, he does do wrong. Cause I mean, if you get into the nuts and bolts of BioShock Infinite, I mean, Rod Ferguson was the one who's now the head at the Coalition for Gears of War 4. He's basically the wolf. He had to come in as the fixer and fix the development of BioShock Infinite to get it out the door, to get the game that, you know, that we got a few years ago, because it was in development hell versus before he came in. So I'm not saying Levine's perfect by any means, but he is a great storyteller for sure. And he has made memorable gaming experiences. So if he's being very passionate about this, and, you know, obviously, you know, he has his development team and they're making it, it's something I will definitely experience. I mean, it's something that'll be on my radar, but I won't give him a 100% hall pass that, yep, this is going to be a hit. Throw my wallet at it. But look, I got my wallet in my hand and I'm leaning towards throwing it.
You're just looking for a reason to say yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio.
So, hey, look, speaking of wallets and spending money, how about basically, I guess Sony's turned into the Matrix, right? So, you know, we got Project Morpheus, and now we found out. There was an article on Giant Bomb that literally just came out before we recorded this, that this rumored PlayStation 4K is also very real, and it is codenamed Neo. So it is the one. I guess it's the one console that's going to bring balance to gaming. But, you know, this kind of like we've been speculating already, the specs that have come out, looks like it's going to have the CPU, they're going to stick with the Jaguar cores, 8 of them at 2.1 gigahertz up from 1.6. They're going to improve the GPU, they're going to stick with AMD, and they're going to go from 18 CUDA cores to 36 CUDA cores, and they're going to bump the megahertz up from 800 to 911. Memory is going to stay at 8 gigabytes DDR5, but they're going to up that speed from 176 gigabytes a second to 218 gigabytes a second. So it is getting a little bit of a power bump for sure. And kind of like we've been speculating, no, they're not going full on 4K as far as the gaming goes, but the Neo will support outputting a up-res 4K image output. They're not talking about 100% if it's going to have like a 4K Blu-ray player, and I would speculate that it probably is. And it's going to stay in the same ecosystem as the current PlayStation 4. And so from what I'm reading, it basically sounds like from October on, developers are going to be mandated that they have to support basically the base model, which is the current PlayStation 4, along with the this new PlayStation Neo, or whatever it's going to eventually be called. And, you know, development will happen side by side. So if you currently have a PlayStation 4, you will not be forced to upgrade to continue to play these games. But if you do get the new PlayStation 4K, you know, frame rate might be updated a little bit. And so you might go from 1080p 30 frames per second or 900p 30 frames per second to now you're going to get 1080p 60 frames per second. I'm not going to say every game. I guess it obviously just depends on the experience that developers want to do, but they're getting more power under the hood. And I would dare speculate that this is going to have HDMI 2.0 in it to support 4K streaming of things like Netflix and all that to your 4K TV. So I don't know. I'm assuming this is probably coming this year.
Do
at
you
this
buy
point.
It? Are you throwing your wallet?
Well, like I said last week, I'm going to get it. Going to get it. Why not? Screw it. I'm going to get it. I'm a tech junkie nerd. So why not? I have a 4K TV. Might as well I'd rather play my PlayStation 4 on right now, so I might as well have a 4K one. You know, so I can look, so I can play Destiny in 4K.
So my only concern with
And still rumored to be $399. That was the other rumor. Sorry. Wow. But go ahead.
See, so $399 makes a difference. So if you're keeping, it's not like they've got a lot of stock to burn through before they even start making a dent in whatever cost it takes to develop something like this. It's, and I don't want to turn this into a console bash fest here. Microsoft's going to have a hell of a time fighting through existing inventory. How do you buy those back? It's not like you can't send them overseas like the Super Bowl shirts for the winning team, right? They still have some valid use in today's video game ecosystem. So
you just slash the price. That's all you can do, right?
Like, so do you put them out? They're what, $399 now? So what do you go, $250 for?
Were you talking about the Xbox One?
Yeah.
Well, Xbox One right now, you get it for what, $299?
Yeah. So I'm assuming if you wanted to stick with the older generation, just to maintain, not to take anything away from the PlayStation. I know some listeners have said that, you know, we're anti Xbox, but
oh, we got to read that email too.
Yes, we'll cover that.
We'll do that later.
I don't know if the specs they're touting are they enough?
I don't think they are.
I'm behind the 4K streaming ability because, you know, I want that native 4K when I throw on Netflix and I go watch my Daredevils or watch my Defenders or Iron Fist and the rest of those. But I don't know if, like, can I get an adapter and throw it on the back of a PS4 and have that just do 4K?
No.
Like, can I be just good enough with that?
You know how encryption works. You can't do that.
I know. But I don't know if the rest of the specs they're touting are enough to warrant me going out and just,
it's not,
literally doing a physical swap of my existing PS4, which gets no play anyways, but
I don't think it is. I mean, and I'm saying I'm going to get one. I'm just doing it because I'm a nerd like that. And I just want to do it to say, hey, I got one. But I don't think it is enough of a bump unless you truly want, let me backtrack. If you have a 4K TV and you want to experience 4K content, and this is provided it does have a 4K Blu-ray player. If you're into physical media, you want that 4K Blu-ray player, you got the 4K TV, you want your Amazon and your Netflix in 4K, then this new PlayStation 4 will allow you to have it be the all-in-one box to support that 4K life that you want. Now, if you're just a gamer, if you don't care about 4K, if you don't have a 4K TV and you just want to keep playing video games and you already have a PlayStation 4, I'd have a hard time telling someone to go out and spend $400 for this. I really would. I really would. It doesn't make sense in that light to say, all right, hey, Paris at Gamertag Radio says I should go spend $400 to go get a PlayStation 4K. I would never tell anyone to do that. If you're just gaming, and Sony's even saying it, and again, it's really going to come down to E3 and how they message this. Because if they screw up the message, they're just going to piss everybody off. They need to be very careful how they present this to the consumers. They need to let the almost 40 million PlayStation 4 owners out there right now know that your current system is okay. You will still have beautiful games on it. Look, if they need to, just show Ratchet and Clank like 1,000 times at the press conference and let people know, look, we can still do this, okay? You're good. We're good. But if you are that tech nerd, then, or if you don't already own a PlayStation 4, then I would understand, all right, go out and go get that, because now your games are, even though they're up-res, they're going to show in 4K, in developer choice instances, since they have a little more power in the hood, you might start seeing more of your games in 1080p lock 60 frames per second, which is good, you know, even though you don't necessarily need that, because, like, look at Ratchet and Clank, for example, it's 30 frames per second. I didn't even realize it was 30 frames per second until someone pointed it out to me, and I looked at the fact sheet, and I go, oh, I guess it is. Oh, well, back to playing the game, because it didn't matter, right? So, as a gamer, just keep a PlayStation 4, if this is true, and the specs are exactly what they're saying, because those specs tell me this is not a powerful enough box to do any true 4K gaming. That's not happening unless it's a small indie title. That's about it.
So essentially, unless watching your Orange is the New Black or House of Cards or your Daredevils is that important to you. And unless you've got the disposable income, it's not worth it.
Exactly. That would be my recommendation to anyone. Maybe you look at this a year from now, a couple years from now, maybe then. But see, here it also works to Sony's advantage in this way. Yeah, you have the quote-unquote top-tier PlayStation 4 at $400. Current PlayStation 4, that thing's got to be, what, $199 now? Right?
Is it?
I'm saying if this happens, if the current one is, because right now you get a PlayStation 4 for what, $299, $350, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to go to at least $250. Or
do you see this more of an Oculus bundle type thing?
Well, here's the interesting thing. In the Giant Bomb article, they mentioned the PlayStation VR, because again, that's been the other speculation, that this box will allow them to, you wouldn't need that breakout box, and you could just plug directly into this PlayStation 4K. There's no mention of this being the case in this. But again, this is early. Who knows? Look, we're 56 days away at this point.
You would think something like this Neo, right? And I'm doing the air quotes for those at home. This suits more a Project Morpheus type bundle for the PlayStation brand, if you think about it, because it gives you the additional horsepower, the extra CUDA cores, you know, the bump in, right. in GPU, the bump in CPU, the bump in RAM bandwidth, maybe to appease or make games on Morpheus easier to handle, so you're not dealing with the jet engine wind up from, you know, the Gen 1 PS4s. So I can see this as the wind up for Project Morpheus moving forward, as the bundle box that they include when you say, oh, you know, when you got the Christmas bonus coming in and you're like, okay, yeah, I want to get VR for the house with a PS4. Let me go get this one that's got, you know, all the additional bells and whistles from,
right.
you know, from
right.
Gen 2. So right. if you look at it from that perspective, it makes more sense. But I just, again, I don't see PlayStation putting enough horsepower into this device. And that makes sense, because you don't want to make it so grandiose that it makes the first gen obsolete and forcing all of your existing install base to go just switch over to the new stuff. But that's going to take a lot of money. I don't know. That's an extra $400 or $500 that some people may have.
Yeah. It's again, I really think, oh, and by the way, just to throw it in, this new one would also share the same PlayStation store. It's like literally everything will still be the same. Only the hardware in the newer PlayStation 4 will be a little better than the old one. But as far as online experiences and all that, it'll stay exactly the same. You can play online games with current PlayStation 4 owners with 4K, vice versa, and all that stuff. But going back to what you're saying, I mean, it really comes down to their marketing and their message. They have to make this thing seem desirable, but they also have to make people that already have a PlayStation 4 not feel like they have to go out and buy one. But I don't know. It's
from a family perspective, I don't see the value of dropping an additional $400 on a device that has minimal upgradability. Like, I don't, it's not like going from a 960 to a 980 Ti. You know what I mean? It's not giving me all the, it's not like going from an AMD old school. I'm going to bash my old processor because I can do that now that I have an i5. But it's not like going from an old school AMD to an i5 i7 overclocked, where you see the difference, you know, going from a, you know, an old school 900, you know, a 900p res. Now I'm 2440, you know, 4K monitor on my desktop. Changes like that cost a lot of money. And you know what helps? LearnVest.com.
Oh yeah.
So we've talked about it on a couple of shows now. LearnVest is a financial tool made available from from a reputable financial advice company that helps empower people nationwide to make smart decisions with your money. I'm going to be straight up. The last thing I want is for my money to go down the tubes and not have no control over it. So I do what I can to make sure I get the most out of my money. And if I had the opportunity, and I know there's a lot of people who have like college loans and things like that, that hinder what they can do, that prevents them from going out and going and getting a brand new car or getting the brand new, you know, getting a new 980 Ti if you really want to go baller and get, you know, Oculus or whatever. But if you had a chance to pay down your student loans, LearnVest can help with that. So last time I checked, I don't have a lot of digits after the decimal point in my bank account. You know, growing up, you know, in a family with kids, son's about to hit college. You get ready for that one, Paris, because that's going to hit you too soon.
Oh, my God. don't remind me.
If you set it up now, now is the perfect time for those of you, especially if you've got kids and you've got a college, you know, if you've got college, you know, in your future for them. Go to learnvest.com/GTR. They'll pair you up with a financial planner to get you on the beginning custom financial plan track to set aside money for whether it's going to be for savings, going on that retirement vacation, paying down student loans, paying down credit debt. We all have those. Those are almost like requirements for growing up into adulthood. But go to learnvest.com/GTR. You'll get a $50 credit. Check out sample plans and they'll pair you with a planner to get you back on track and give you the opportunity to buy that 980 Ti, to buy that Oculus Rift, to buy that new PS5 and get that 4K, you know, video stream, but not gaming, on that dope 4K TV you want. I mean, all of these things that we talk about on a weekly basis, they cost money, and there's no better tool than LearnVest.com. So again, LearnVest.com/GTR, $50 credit, financial planner, get a sample plan, and start paying down your debts and get and start putting the money towards what you want to do.
Yes, because Jesus, you bring up college and I literally like shuddered in my chest. I was like, oh.
Hey man, hey, I took my son on a tour for FSU.
I know you did.
I know. I know that made you happy. I know it was inside. Inside it, you were crying with tears. But
oh yeah.
I broke my father's heart when I told him that next month I got to go to Gainesville.
So. Ugh, see, you can skip that one. You don't need to go to Gainesville. That's just a waste of time. Just go to Central Florida. You know, just skip. Is that even a college? I don't even think that's really a college. Gainesville? I think the University of Florida, they give out fake degrees, don't they?
Wow. Well, I know they avoid the good football teams. That's all I'm going to say.
They definitely avoid the good football teams. And when they do play the good football teams, Florida State, they lose. So that's what happens. You know,
there's talk of
not to mention nasty Gatorade.
There's talk of potentially playing the Hurricanes this year. So, or if not this year, in the next 2 to 3 years max.
Oh, but we, and I know we've just skewed way off into college football talk. Okay. But you know what's going to happen, right, Pete?
They're gonna lose. They're gonna back out again.
Exactly. They'll lose, and all of a sudden, well, we got to go back to playing West Texas Lafayette State during that period. We can't. The Hurricanes just, you know, with the ACC and the SEC, the scheduling, we can't figure it out. We love gosh it. Darn it! Can we get out of playing Florida State too, please? That's what's gonna happen.
We'll play Florida A&M.
Yeah. Oh, David, get out of Rattlers might get them too.
Dude, I did not know that they're literally across the street.
Oh, yeah. Bro, look, we can have conversations offline.
Okay. No, I was driving in my car. I have my son in the passenger seat. We're talking. I'm like, all right, let's go make a left. I look to the right, and there's like Florida A&M. And I'm like, really? It's like, that close? Like, right. Look, I think Pete, we got off topic enough.
Can I just say this one last thing? Because I don't even know if this is the case anymore, but I know this was the case back in 1991. Between Florida State and Florida A&M, which at the time Florida State was like the number one party school in the freaking nation, 7-1 girls to guys? I'll let you do the math beyond that.
That was the first question I asked my son. I was like, so what'd you think of the college experience? I wanted him to have like a big campus experience. That's why we went to FSU first. And he was like, girl to guy ratio. Oh my God.
Hey, yes, Lord. Oh my goodness. All the memories. Right. Okay. So back to video games. Sorry. So we go from the party state to the dark zone. Let's talk about the division and some of the exploits that have been happening and Ubisoft's response to that. You obviously know more than I do, so take it away, Pete.
All right, so the Dark Zone and everything, the Division. It's just side note before we get into that. I had my first truly negative experience in the Dark Zone today, right before we came online. It made me to put my controller down and go have dinner. So last week they launched Falcon Lost, which is their quote unquote raid for the Division, and it entails Bullet Sponge plus extra enemies, all level 32. So if there's a new gear value that you have to have met, which is a minimum 140. But to be honest with you, if all four of you guys are not in the 180 plus range, don't even bother. It's a waste of time. So in Falcon Lost, you could throw glitches, you know, and this is something that plagued the Division prior to the launch of the new DLC, which is free, by the way. So there's a mobile cover system that you can put out. That's one of the talents for your character, for your Division agent. And for whatever reason, it allows you to glitch through walls, through fences, and in particular with Falcon Lost, it allows you to skip a major portion of the encounter and just go straight for the final boss.
Mm-hmm.
And with the new update, when you defeat the final boss, you get what's called a gear set or parts of a gear set, which raises your level, raises your skill, raises your firepower, and gives you an advantage. So a lot of people have taken it upon themselves to use this same glitch to bypass a major portion of the incursion or the Falcon Lost raid and go straight towards the booty, the loot. That's what everybody plays these games for, right? Is the end game loot. It's not even the action. It's the end game loot. Unfortunately, one of the byproducts of that, community manager for Ubisoft and the Division said that they're going to punish those who have exploited this glitch. Me personally, I've never taken it. We had the opportunity when I finally got through this on Friday evening, and we talked about it amongst each other. We're like, no, let's do this the right way, because the last thing we want to do is to cheese it. Granted, I'm not gonna lie, I am wholeheartedly guilty of cheesing raids in Destiny. But I was, you know, this is the first time going through it. You want to do it the natural way and see what happens afterwards. I was kind of disappointed in the fact that it was a Bullet Sponge raid, similar to the last one, not the most recent one that was dropped, but I think it was a Dark Below raid for Crota. But for the community manager, and maybe they were just taken out of context, I would love to get Nachai. Sorry, I'm got me a Destiny, but I hate you.
Well, they're so closely linked at this point.
I would love to get someone from the community management team, preferably Nachai from Ubisoft, or someone else, unnamed Ubisoft employee, to get an idea as to what they really meant. I can't see how punishing a player for taking advantage of something that your code or your QA didn't catch is a punishable offense.
No, I fully agree. And, you know, so we're kind of loosely talking about Destiny anyways. I think they got to take a page from Bungie on this. I mean, look at the cheese with Atheon, you know, in the vault of glass where you could knock him off the ledge. Right. And then with Crota, you know, the pull the plug glitch and all that. Bungie didn't say, well, we're going to start punishing people for it. They obviously patched it when they could, and they rolled with it. They owned it. They made fun of it. They had fun with the fact that people... Matter of fact, when we did the that Luke interview with Luke was even making fun of him. He's like, come on, admit it. You know, you pulled the plug. You know, stuff like that. They know, dude. So to punish players, it's like you said. When we play these games for the loot, we want the in-game loot. That's why we play them. So if we can find a way to get the loot easily, that's what we're going to do. Because we're gamers. That's how we respond to when we find these loopholes in things. We're going to do that. And I'm not saying every time you need to be a cheater, but the curiosity factor comes into play. You're like, I wonder if this really does work. So you're going to go try it. Almost cursed, but oh crap, it does work, you know, and you take advantage of it. So like you said, hopefully this was just taken out of context, because punishing players is just going to make players leave the game.
Agree.
Because why play something that I got to watch my back every time? I better make sure this is okay, because if it's not okay, then Ubisoft is going to come in and they're going to punish me again. It's silly. So hopefully that doesn't happen. And like you said, hopefully we can get someone on the show to actually talk about it and clarify it a little more, because, you know, I haven't started playing yet. I fully admit I haven't played yet. I plan on playing The Division. I want to go in the Dark Zone and experience all this stuff. So yes, there's exploits. Destiny had them too. All games have bugs and exploits. You know, hopefully they'll get in there and get those things patched up so that people can play the game the way it was intended.
I hope so. It's, I hate to sound like an apologist for the game, because it is so much fun. But then there are instances like the Dark Zone where occasionally you come across those dudes that they're unfun. They make the game not fun. But that's part of the game. You know, that's part of the lore and the enticement of going into the Dark Zone. And I have to mirror you. It's just, you don't punish the players for finding something that you didn't find. Like, being in IT, it's funny, I'm going through an audit right now, so it's fresh in the mind, but like, you go through those tests.
Is it PCI?
Huh? No.
Is it PCI compliant?
Sock and socks. But you go through those testings. You go through the regression phases. You go through all of that to catch this. You can't punish the customer, and in this case, the gamer. You can't punish them for something you didn't catch. I can't speak for Nachai, or I can't speak for Ubisoft, but I'm going to hope that, like you said, taken out of context, maybe this was just, you know, a moment of weakness. Or maybe this is just a bad case of Google Translate not working for you. But I can't see this being a punishable offense. They, Ubisoft is already taking a hit on the game for some of the things that are happening in game. I know there's people that have been complaining about some, you know, there's been cases where enemies don't take damage. I've seen that where, you know, they're in cover. You've got a bead on them, but no matter how many bullets you throw at them, it nothing happens to them. You know, reload, grenade effects, teleporting, things happen. They put, you know, the developers put fixes out. They do updates to resolve these, and on occasion, in an effort to fix those things, they might break other things. So all I ask is for Ubisoft, fix the game. Massive, fix the minor things, but don't punish the players for finding your glitches or finding your things. Hey,
agreed.
The loot cave got me a bunch of things. It got me a lot of purples. RNG wasn't happy with me, but you know, don't shutter your game base to punish them for something that could have been resolved with more time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like you just brought up the loot cave, for example. Imagine a bunch of, well, we're going to punish everybody that used the loot cave.
Everybody would have been reverted back to a level
exactly.
Zero.
Exactly. That's crazy. No, I totally get what you mean. And like we said, hopefully this was just lost in translation. And because it's anti-gamer to do such a thing. You know, I mean, easily as a gamer, I could argue back, well, get a better QA, right? if you'd QA'd the game better, there wouldn't have been the exploit. But we know that happens. No matter how much you play test on how much you QA a game, if there's a will, there's a freaking way. Yeah. It happens in every game. So I don't blame the developer. I don't blame the gamers. It just, it is what it is. Get it patched up and we'll move on from there. So speaking of moving on, I think we should transition into fan mail.
Fan mail.
Wow, that was all right.
Solid. That was pretty solid.
Yeah. Fan mail. I'm just kidding. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. I got an email, and we have to read this one because God bless him. So we got an email from Silent Hunter, and this is what he says to us. Hey, GTR crew. My email is regarding Poston's comment that Gears 3 was the weakest Gears game in the series. Well, I completely disagree with Poston on this. Gears 3 was the best Gears games for many reasons. Level design and core gameplay mechanics were vastly improved in Gears 3 in both campaign and multiplayer. Story, writing, and interactions between characters was also better and more grounded thanks to new writer Karen Travis. I never liked Dom as a character, but she did such a good job that he became one of my favorite characters of the series. Dom's death scene, spoilers, was so well done that it made even some non-Gears fans cry when they watched it for the first time. Gears 1 and 2 were pretty mediocre in story and writing, but Gears 3 was a huge improvement in both story and writing compared to the first two Gears. A lot of questions were answered and many were left unanswered for future games, just like the Halo games. Gears 4 is aiming to bring back dark, gritty atmosphere to first Gears with gameplay mechanics of Gears 3. They don't want anything from Gears 2 and Judgment. According to Cliff and Rod, both Gears 2 and Judgment were weakest games in the series. Also, Paris, seriously, bro? Halo story better than Gears? I mean, I understand you and Pete are in anti-Xbox mode nowadays, but come on. Halo is far worse than Gears when it comes to story and writing. That 10-man Master Chief has no personality whatsoever, and he is in a love affair with that AI Cortana, and it creeps me out. Halo games are overrated, and soon Gears will take over the Halo series on Xbox because 343 is doing fantastic job killing that series. That's all I have to say. Love the podcast. Keep up the work. And then he says, P.S. Danny, I am a huge fan of you, man. GTR is my favorite gaming podcast on the internet. Love everything you guys do. Please don't stop ever. Danny, when you are old and not able to continue GTR, then pass the torch to your child, just like Darth Vader passed it to Kylo Ren, and Marcus will pass it to JD in Gears 4. Mamba out. I added Mamba out. Whatever. So, no, thank you, Silent Hunter, for this. My first thing is, Pete, I have to give it to you, because when did you become an anti-Xbox dude? I thought that was me.
I don't know. My PlayStation 4 has got so much dust on it. One of the last sentences he says, because 343 is doing a fantastic job of killing that series. Agreed. They killed the last series. They killed the last game. They murdered it. Horrible. Is Silent Hunter a fake alias for Danny's email?
It could be. It very well could be. This might be Danny. I think it is Danny. That's why I read the PS.
He just created a fake email account. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to, okay. And a PS, Danny's a huge fan. You're the best, of course. I have to disagree. If anybody that says that the Gears series in whole, or the Gears IP, has a bigger, better storyline than Halo, I have no problem with people that smoke marijuana, but you need to stop. There's so much storyline that permeates the Haloverse that doesn't even touch the games. Gray Squad. That's all I have to say.
No, and again, not to open up those cans of worms from a couple episodes ago, but I mean, this kind of goes back to that point in that, yeah, if you want to start digging into the books and the back lore, I mean, I'm sure an argument can be made that Gears is superior. But I do feel, and this is, again, just my opinion, that Halo did a better job of telling its story in the game. But then when you throw on top all the books and the lore for the backstory of Halo, it gets even bigger and more expansive. And I think that was kind of the shortcoming of Halo 5, to be honest with you, is they made a lot of assumptions that people read the books. And that's where it kind of fell short, and people were kind of confused on certain things and didn't understand things because they didn't simply read the books. You know, like I said, we've gone that road a million times. Silent Hunter is more than welcome to his opinion. This is not a right or wrong answer by any means. If he loves Gears that much, it's great. If you love Halo, that's great. But it doesn't matter. All I can say is this. Check out that interview that IGN did do with Rod Ferguson. Ryan McCaffrey did on Podcast Unlocked, where they talked to Rod Ferguson about Gears 4 and just the direction that they're taking Gears 4, why they left people like Marcus Fenix behind, and just, you know, how that brotherhood that everyone remembers at the end of Gears 3 was built up over three games to get to that point. Because if you remember, and I'm taking it straight from the interview, you know, Marcus Fenix and Baird hate each other. They hated each other at the beginning. So they literally built their relationship up through three games. And I do agree with him that Gears 3, from a gameplay standpoint, was the pinnacle of that series, because they were able to refine, and actually get the core gameplay mechanics down to perfection. I mean, multiplayer side and on the campaign side. And obviously, you know, we had the four-player co-op and all that thrown in as well. So I'm looking forward to Gears 4. I got my fingers crossed it'll come to Windows 10 at some point, since I ain't got an Xbox anymore. But which, by the way, the Gears beta, it's unfortunate that Danny and Patrick weren't on here, because they've been playing the Gears beta. Again, I can't play it, and Pete didn't play it either, so we don't have impressions on that. But sounds very polarizing right now from what I've heard around the campfire. Some people seem to really like it, and some people seem to forget that it's a beta with some of their complaints, I think. But you know, I'm sure there'll be more at E3, and you know, we'll get some more information at that time. So anything else you want to add on that?
I'm still in anti Xbox mode. I'm still trying I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. just for your edification, Mr. Silent Hunter, I play nonstop on the Xbox One.
No, he does, and I troll them on the Windows 10 app, on the Xbox app on Windows 10. I just randomly message them. Yeah, I go, Xbox sucks.
I hope that my criticism of Xbox doesn't come off as an anti-Microsoft stance. I just want the console, or the device that I use for most of my gameplay, to be the best, because that's just the way that I am. I have a preference towards the Xbox console because of the service, actually, more so the Xbox Live service versus the physical console itself, because I get more, I appreciate it more. I like it more. It's why I stuck with Xbox instead of doing, you know, going the Paris route and switching gears, switching gears.
Yes.
To PlayStation. It's a preference. I'm not anti Xbox. I'm anti-bad games. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh, roger that. And I guess I'll just throw this in just for clarification. You know, I am not anti-Xbox. I am not anti-Microsoft. I mean, I explained a couple weeks ago why I made the decision that I made. You know, and there will come a point in time where I'll revisit, do I need to own an Xbox console? I just don't see me owning one here in the next 6 months or so, which is why I made the decision. But, you know, when there's a fantastic game that I personally want to play that is exclusive to an Xbox console, I will go get one for sure if it does not show up on Windows 10. And again, Windows 10, with the strategy that they're having, played a lot into my decision. Look, I'm critical of Microsoft. I'm critical of PlayStation. I'm critical of Nintendo. I'm a critical person, period, because I'm critical of things that I enjoy, because I want them to be better so that I can enjoy them even more. And I think that's the one thing about me that I think some people listening may or may not necessarily understand about me, is I don't hate on things just to hate them. I always hope, and please leave us feedback if I'm wrong here. You can hit me up on Twitter or on email. When I do criticize something, I try to make sure I explain why I'm criticizing it. You know, versus just, oh, that sucks. Well, why does it suck? I don't know. I just think it sucks. You know, I try to I try to say why I think something needs to improve, or something's great. I try to praise that as well. So that's just me. I mean, again, you guys listening, you make up your mind. That's just what I think. But I think we're going to go ahead and start wrapping this up. Now, I do want to read one more email because I'm curious on Pete's opinion on this, and then we'll get out of here. So this one is from Anthony, and he's in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he just simply says this. Hey, guys, I just built a new gaming PC with the intent of going 4K or VR. I'm not totally sure yet, but I think I'm leaning more towards VR at the moment. Which one interests you more, and where do you see me getting the best use out of my setup? That's from Anthony. So, Pete, what's your opinion on that?
I don't know if I could answer your question because I don't know. I would need more context on what you prefer. I would say that VR might be the cheaper way in because it's got a lesser requirement from a GPU perspective. It's typically the most expensive component. Because with VR, bare minimum is 970. If you want to go 4K, you know, you might have to go dual 970s.
You better go more than that.
No, but I'm telling you, you can go 4K with bare minimum 970s, but I mean, you're going to struggle. You're going to get that high pitch whine from, you know, your machine, you know, doing extra work. If it depends on what your needs are. If you have a budget constraint, I'm going to say VR all the time. I don't know if there's enough gaming content yet to validate 4K as a.
Yes, there is.
Is there? Like Witcher 3?
Basically any PC game you can play in 4K. You can play Grand Theft Auto 5 in 4K. You can play BioShock Infinite in 4K. I mean, any game, you can scale it up to 2160p if you have the horsepower to get it at a stable frame rate. That's the issue, is getting the horsepower in your GPU and your CPU to actually sustain a reliable frames per second. I mean, if you can hit 4K 30 frames per second, I mean, you're fine. If that's what you want to do.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. If you want to do some 970s in SLI, your PC is literally going to turn off, look at you and go, Peter, we need to have a conversation because you obviously don't realize what I'm capable of. That's what's going to happen.
Pooh, Peter.
But I guess from my standpoint, I would say right now 4K would be, and again, this is my and we don't even know what type of rig that you built, if it could sustain reliable 4K gaming or not. If you have the hardware for it, I mean, 4K obviously is going to give you the best visual fidelity. VR is still in its infancy, so we still don't know what the true killer apps are going to be. I mean, the only experience I have with it is playing Minecraft in Windows 10, you know, with the Oculus Rift, and it was an amazing experience. I'm pretty sure my rig right now could support it. I just would need the Oculus Rift, and I could do it right now. So, like Pete said, it just comes down to preference. Me personally, I need to experience VR more to give a definitive answer if I wanted to lean that way or not. But, you know, obviously I'm already invested in 4K, so that'd be my default answer.
So you would say 4K strictly on performance, where I would say VR strictly on a price constraint.
I'm throwing money out of the window. Yeah, okay. If money's a concern, then I'm going 4K at this point.
Gotcha. Well, there's your answer, Anthony. Hopefully that answers it. If not, feel free to reach out to us again, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Ask us for follow-ups, and we'll try and get back to you.
Absolutely. Or don't forget, follow us on Twitter @GamertagRadio, and we'll definitely give you a reply. So I think that's the show this week. We'll be back on Monday with a new episode. I'm sure some more E3 bombs will drop over the weekend by the time we come back and get on the podcast again. But Pete, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nope, that's it. We're going to wrap up here, and then I'm going to go back into PC Wonderland and play some Borderlands 2 with my buddy.
Yeah, that's true, because you are anti-Xbox, so I'm not surprised. But I think that's it, guys. So this has been episode 560 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, that's Peter, and we will see you guys on Monday.
Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.